Well, yeah, we got to get the whole Apollo Smile story.
Yeah.
The Apollo Smile.
Apollo Smile. I can wrap up Apollo Smile in 5 minutes. I can wrap up Apollo Smile in 5 minutes.
Apollo Smile now has no clout. She's not going to be gunning.
No, she's dead.
She didn't really die.
She didn't die.
Maybe.
No, she didn't. Well,
no, let me tell you.
All right. Go.
You can't bury her on our show.
No, well, yeah. So bring me the head of Apollo Smile. So Apollo Smile became big at a time before she actually could have become big. If Apollo Smile happened now, I would not be surprised if she gained some sort of following of Apollites, and that would be the end of that.
She'd go triple platinum.
Yeah, yeah. And so she was formerly a commercial singer and body double. She sang a lot of background music for movies, and she did a lot of body double work for movie posters. She was very good looking. She is very good looking. She had a good voice. She could sing better than I could. And what happened was she found this gig where she could actually be Apollo Smile. Her real name is Apollo. Her real name is actually Apollo.
Okay.
Somebody had a kid and said, hey, let's name her Apollo. And, you know, the very first Otakon Mystery Anime Theater 3000 made fun of her by compiling the pseudo anime poser ray, which would turn you into an anime poser by giving you the name of a Greco-Roman god and a facial expression. So we would get Jupiter smirk and Neptune sneeze and stuff like that. So it didn't take long for her actions on her own to kind of irk the hardcore fan community, the community who knew why they liked anime, and they knew that Apollo Smile was not it.
That's not why.
Yeah, and so she conned poor old what's-his-name over at the Sci-Fi Channel into thinking she was, you know, awesome, because she'd hang out at Anime Crash and people would ask for her autographs. And then, you know, take that, whatever she signed, and just chuck it in the garbage can across from Tower Records. But, you know, he would see this and think, oh, well, she's the bomb. And, you know, they put her on TV. And the only reason people watched it is because that was the only place you could animate at the time.
Yeah.
And it's because Sci-Fi Channel was running Iria.
Right.
Should have just run Gunbuster. I mean, by the way, anybody who says Gunbuster isn't good or Gunbuster is old school and they don't like it, I will find you and I will kill you.
You're saying if they don't like the original Gunbuster?
Yes. Yeah, no one would say that.
Yeah. Not anybody here.
Nobody said it.
No, I thought I was walking down the street one day and I just heard that and I just turned it on.
They might have been talking about Gunbuster 2. Maybe they'd never seen Gunbuster 1.
They might have been talking about McDonald's for all I know. I was in Union Square Park. I mean, they weren't even wearing an anime t-shirt. They might have just been talking about
it. Because if you watch the first episode of Gunbuster 2, you might get the wrong impression.
But anyway, back to Apollo. Apollo, then, after the Sci-Fi Channel run really started, you know, people who were just getting into anime, the fandom all the way up until about 2 years ago, I'm not even sure if this is still going on, but being in the fandom was all about out otakuing someone else. If you knew that one extra Japanese word, if you had that one obscure ninja high school teacher from 1989, I said t-shirt, not t-shirt.
I've got that.
Yeah, sorry.
No, not really, actually.
Oh.
Liar.
I thought we could.
Huh? No, I don't have it. Although I read Ninja High School and Antarctic Press was like there.
They were there. They were poised.
They knew what they were doing.
Yeah, and then some stuff happened, and what you know what? I blame the furries. I really blame the furries.
That's another story.
Yeah, that's another story. In order for these new fans to get as far as they could into the fandom that they have just discovered and they love because anime is great, and that, you know how you feel when you first discovered it.
Yeah,
you
it's can like never... being it's like being in love.
Yeah, and the way they did that was to try to embrace everything the otakus were doing at the time, and one of those things was hating the crap out of Apollo Smile. And
then you knew you had an in.
Yeah, then you were like, okay, I belong in the group. At least they know that I'm not a total noob. That was like when you graduated from Uber noob, you became like first class private noob when you said you hated Apollo Smile.
And oh man, I hope I never have that kind of position. We're like people just to know that they're in.
I know. And all you people who don't even know who Apollo Smile was, you missed out. You missed out on that. On
we've
that
got,
promotion.
We've got Ed Chavez from the manga cast.
We're wrapping up the Apollo Smile story.
Oh,
and then maybe we'll have
quite the story. So she disappears for a while, and then she tries to get back in the groove. She was one of the very first things that the new type did before their director went back to Warner, because he left there because the new type actually thought they were going to get advertising accounts like Honda and Coca-Cola instead of, you know, Planet Anime.
Nissan.
They have Anime, and they have like little thing, but that's because they had to lower their price. They wanted $14,000 for a full-page ad.
Oh.
It was insane. It was a lot.
I don't know.
Maybe not 14, but it was absolutely prohibitive.
I've never run a magazine. So.
Yeah, I got those ad rates and they were just rough. And she tried hooking onto that and that didn't work out too well. And then she disappeared. And she didn't do any more movie work, and she didn't do anything. And so one day, I'm coming out of a meeting with a Korean animation firm to license some Korean anime, because the Koreans have always been, you know, the workhorses of anime for a while now. And now a lot of studios with government money subsidies are making their own animes. The government's pulling, Japanese have yet to do this whole scale, but the Koreans are pulling a lot of money away from what they would normally give to heavy industry. And giving it to companies that develop their own intellectual property.
Yeah, yeah, the museum that we went to was like a government-funded thing, and building that center to educate people on how to do animation and like promote Korean animation in Seoul.
Oh, okay.
The Korean animation museum.
Not the Kimchi Museum.
No.
Like, I'd rather go to a Kimchi Museum.
But no, it was small.
Well, here's the thing. They're doing it wrong.
Wonderful Sky Blue or Wonderful Days or whatever was.
I was going to bring that up. Yeah. I was going to bring that. They're doing it wrong. That's why you haven't seen Wonderful Days come out here, because the meeting was about Wonderful Day.
Really?
And I was talking
really
with Sunmin Park, who actually...
There's not a DVD?
No.
They had a film release.
Yeah,
what happened?
No, you're never going to see one because these companies don't have to make the subsidies back.
If
Samsung was involved with this, and Samsung, you know, this happens in all kinds of industries, but if you get a government grant, there's two kinds you can get. Ones where you have to show you did something, and other ones where they don't care. And all the stuff going to anime, they don't have to show a damn thing. They just have to say, we made it. And then they don't have to release it. They don't have to do anything. And that's what happened in Wonderful Days. They took it. They thought they had the best thing since sliced bread. All these agents that go out and sell it, they get so much vig on the, you know, percentage on the sale, that they're going out there at prices of $4 million, $6 million, $10 million. Warner and Universal are not gonna care. And they're the only ones who can pay that. Everyone else is not going to shell out that kind of money. I mean, I had that same discussion with a Japanese thing, Tree of Palm, that had government money in it. So if it has government money in it, it's going to be really hard to get. And so I just come out of that meeting. Smoke-filled, dark room meeting with about Wonderful Days, which we had decided to pass on, but then we picked up another Korean thing, which was a Japanese co-production, and I won't even go into the shenanigans that happened between those two companies.
Because
one company had half the tapes, the other company had the other half of the tapes, the Beta Masters. If they found out we went to the Koreans first, so Japanese wouldn't talk to us, and the Japanese found out this is a messed up thing, and the Koreans not did. So we got half the series, and we never saw the other half.
Oh yeah, that's. I think Gerald is mad at you.
Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
he's the only person I know who's seen that.
Yeah, it's not a bad. It's not the worst animation ever. You should just remind yourself when you're watching it was made in 2001.
Right.
So don't expect it to have, you know, today's standards. But anyway, so I'm coming out of this meeting. I'm coming out of this meeting. I'm walking down a street, you know, around 50-something street, and I find this amazing-looking Mustang parked, classic Mustang. It wasn't a Shelby Cobra, but it was really nice, and I'm walking with a friend of mine who knows Apollo all too well. I grab him, I say, because she's there. She's sitting there, and he doesn't see her. I grab her, I say, don't look in her eyes. He doesn't know what I'm saying. I say, don't look in her eyes. He's like, what are you talking about? I was like, don't look her in the eye. Hi! There she is. Oh, right there. Just, hi, Dad. Apparently, she couldn't get any other job except pouring drinks at the Divine Bar over next to the Americana Hotel. On Sunday, she was the Sunday hoochmonger. And she talked about how she ended up getting a divorce, and she wanted to get back into the whole game of everything, and how she's banned from Midtown Comics. And then we said, we have to go, and then, you know, 2 years went by. I went back in there looking for her one Sunday, you know, because I end up in there because I am the only one who makes the phone calls in Japanese, because I'm the only one who can speak it over there. And so I asked where she was, and they said they fired her ass for, get this, trying to, you know, giving out headshots to customers who she thought were, they canned her. And then I saw her again on the steps of Lincoln Center, just wearing some sweatpants and I don't think she saw me, man. I just bolted out of there. Her hair never changed though.
Oh,
it was exactly the same.
Basically, anime destroyed her life. Like,
no, you know what? Anime
was the best thing.
Yes, anime was this karmic retribution, because here's the thing: to take a page out of fundamentalism, you are never greater than anime. You respect the anime. You never put yourself above the anime. If you are a producer, director, storyboarder, if you are a fan, you are not more important than the anime. I'm not saying save it from a sinking ship or don't use it to block some bullets as someone's shooting at you, but don't for a minute think you can just walk into a place and say, I am, you know, past Master Grand Noble of anime, because something bad will happen to you. Just be yourself.
You hit Skid Row.
Yeah. Yeah, real hard. Mm. You pull an Apollo.
Oh, I guess that's the end of that story.